All right, let's start with a prayer. Father, thank you that we can come together, Lord, in your name, Lord, to hear from you, to receive from you, to open our heart to you, Lord, and to your word. We ask you today, as we are going to go to your word, Lord, that you open and quicken our hearts and our minds, so that, Lord, we may be able to receive it, Lord, may be able to make ours, that we may become transformed by your word, Lord, empowered and given victory over the flesh and over the things of the world. Lord, that we may be able, Lord, to receive it in our hearts and allow our heart to be transformed and empowered. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so we've been looking about having a relationship with God. That is such an important aspect of our experience with the Lord. Without that, actually, our spiritual efforts are futile. Because that is the really the basis, is not our ceremonials, is not our words, is not anything that we do ourselves. It's so easy for us to fall into religion, which is really following rules, following the law. The law cannot save us. It's just an indicator, if you want, when we miss it. But if we look there, we look at the wrong place. Because we cannot overcome. We cannot have strength. We cannot have the power inside, because there is no power in the law. Because the law works through our mind. And the power is in our spirit and in our heart, which is the connection between our spirit and our mind. We have to understand that, because only then we can get some places. It's so easy to fall back into religion. And I want to stress that, because this is the problem most believers have. This is where they get nowhere, trying to do the right thing, trying to be right, trying to measure up to what everybody else and even themselves think. You know, last night I was praying for after it was late, yeah, I went to bed. I was cleaning up the place there in my office. Very difficult thing to do. And then I said, no, I'm going to spend some time with the Lord. And I spent some time with the Lord and show me the next step about our this topic of the relationship. We had to get there. It's going to be some time yet. But really the emphasis that was showing me how important is the way we deal with our heart to improve ourselves. Christianity is not an improvement program. Christianity is something that is a spiritual program. It's not by looking around to get better that you are going to do, not even trying to get better. It's by having communion with the Source, with the Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. And it's their job, not ours, to get better, to transform us. The very soon that we start trying to make ourselves better, we fall into religion because we end up doing works, dead works. And dead works don't give life. So, now we're going to go more on that. Paul talks about that in some places. It says something that I don't think many people understand. And we're going to look at those scriptures and see the implication that they have for us if we want really to be empowered by Him rather than being trying to make ourselves strong spiritually, because it's not going to work. Okay, is that relationship that we have, that other people have with God on a personal basis, where the power comes from. It's not by trying to measure up. You are going to always to fail and be religious and being bound up by religion if you are trying to do it that way. We don't look at ourselves. We look at Him, the author and finisher of our faith. There is no place in the Bible saying that we should do the other. Now, and that relationship was there from the beginning. From the very starting with Adam and Eve, and all the one coming after, and there was no Bible there, and there was no rules, there was no book on self-improvements. And lots of Christianity is self-improvement program. Self has to get out of the way, because yourself can do nothing. Jesus said, you know, you cannot do anything except through me. Now, okay, we can see, you know, we want to keep a control. We want to be able, our mind want to control things. See, we are used to think that way because that's the way we have been trained by our experiences in the world, because that's the way the world works. That's not the way God works. So unless you die yourself, you just can't do anything. This is why we can see, you know, that in the Old Testament, without Bible, without anything, these people had a relationship with God, sometimes much better than many of these Christians, because they didn't have all the rules and regulations, then all the books and all the other stuff that we have. The only thing, if they had the relationship with God, that was the only thing they could hang on to. Are you still there? So there was no interference in the process, because they weren't trained to do it like the world does. Okay. And we can see even today, nothing has changed. I mean, people that are not even believers, they belong to different religions, and they are seeking for what? The truth. They end up meeting Jesus supernaturally. Why do you think can happen to them and doesn't happen to believers? So I don't know what God tells me. Hello? There is a problem there. Because otherwise we should be able to get more than these people that don't even know Him. Now, I mean, this is, you know, talking about other people. That's the way I met God. It wasn't because somebody was preaching to me. He supernaturally came in. That's the way Paul met God. I mean, he was, quotation marks, religious to the extreme, because he was keen, fanatic, and was going to kill all the people that were following this false cult that was called Christianity. Okay? And he just got zapped on the way to Damascus. Okay, that shows the way God works. Doesn't work according to your mind, according to your things. It works according to what's going on inside you, and if you're really seeking the truth, because Paul was seeking the truth in ignorance. I mean, not ignorance from the worldly point of view or religious point of view. He knew everything. He was a theologian. He was one of the top guys. And because he was smart, possibly he was better than all the others. Okay. But, you know, God came in and messed up everything that he had prepared. To the point that he said, after, you know, all the things that I am myself are manure compared to what God has given me. Okay? Well, that's what has to happen. This is the way we are changed. It's not a one-time deal, things, oh, you know, just meet Jesus, now everything is cleaned up and fixed up. Baloney. That's just the beginning. That's where you start, the story starts. That's all. Okay. You know, Jesus himself said it, but people, you know, make of this a religion too. You know? John 3:5. You know, Jesus said that to Nicodemus, who was there. He was a leader of the Jews. He was one of the Sanhedrin. He was one of the people that knew everything. But his heart was open, and he recognized that Jesus had something that he didn't have. Okay, so you know, secretly he went to see him because he didn't want to be messed up with his friends. Okay, and Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born of water of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. For what is born of the flesh is flesh, which is born of the Spirit is spirit." What does it mean? Which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I mean, there has to be a spiritual experience in which we break through our thinking, our reasoning, all the other stuff that make us do certain things, and our logic, and we get into a space that is completely different, that is in contact with the spirit world, which God himself is there operating in us. He's telling that, you know, we made a religion, you know, just say a little prayer and that happened. Forget it. Unless the person has an actual experience with the Holy Spirit in person, going there and opening their eyes and their mind to the reality of the spiritual world in which they can receive something and they accept it and they are receiving, you know, the water, you know, they're cleaned up. So, you know, there is the Word working in them and showing them the things that need to be cleaned. It's not going to be, what they're going to do is just agree mentally with something that has no power. And they're not going to be able to walk the way they should walk because they're going to try to do it through the rules. Instead of having the heart changed so that they want and they are open and the Holy Spirit of God can be there continuously, not just an experience, continuously working on them. You know, Christians are not taught that that is what you happen all the time, every day, every minute. The Holy Spirit wants to deal with you moment by moment, wants to walk with you, not just be there on Sunday morning, thinking that you make a connection. There is no connection that way, because your heart is somewhere else, except for maybe 1 hour, if it's even there, because you are so busy about and concerned about all the mess that are going on around the world and with your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, just like the people that have actually this experience by themselves, out of nowhere, The same thing has to happen for everybody to get into the kingdom. The Holy Spirit personally had to deal with them and break the resistance and the mentality and all the other things that are associated with it. They had to be born of the Spirit. Not just born again. I don't like the title anymore. As the Lord showed to me and ministered to me, I can't take that title anymore because it doesn't reflect the whole story, reflect too little. And there is too much abuse on that title of people that have no clue what they're doing. You can be born again in many other directions. But there is only one that you're born in the Spirit. It's when the Holy Spirit touches your heart and changes the basic instinct, the basic things that has to do with dealing with things with yourself instead of dealing with things according to the Father's direction. See, everybody to be saved must have a supernatural encounter with the Holy Spirit. Some of them may be more evident than others because they think too much in their mind and they are so caught up with their thinking and with their ego that they cannot get beyond the physical world in which they're around. But even if just a little nick there in their shell of self-protection took place, that's already something for the work to start working with, so to some of the power to start penetrating through that, even a little crack. See, information or religion, which is the same thing, has no power to save anybody. And for the Holy Spirit to do a work, there are conditions that need to be happening. Not only at the beginning, not only when it starts, but every moment thereafter. Every moment after, God wants to continue to work with you. See, it's not just a question of one experience. Your life is the experience that has to happen. It's an ongoing continuation of a relationship of walking with God, not going through the ceremonial or the form that has no power. See, that's where the difference is. That's where you get slowly changed. And what was that? What was called? It was, sanctification. Sanctification is nothing else than salvation, progression. If there is no progression, there is regression. You cannot be stopped there and do nothing. And then you are into religion, and religion has no power, and you're never going to be in any victory in your walk. Okay, so, we must, see, I often talk about revelation because this is what happened when the Holy Spirit come in contact with us. And so the Holy Spirit communicate with us, and what it does bring revelation, brings revelation, the word, apocalypse in Greek is nothing else but the uncovering of something that before we have a veil in front of our eyes that we cannot see, but it's always there. But if you don't see it, you can do anything. So you need to see. You see, your only salvation depends on what you actually see. You cannot be saved more than what you see in the Spirit. So, and the way you see is because God gives us light. See, the light of the Holy Spirit illuminate those areas that otherwise are hidden to from us, so that suddenly we can see things that we didn't see before. But we become conscious of them. It's not that, you know, you cannot grow spiritually unconsciously. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Oh, the Lord has dealt with me. What did he do? I don't know. Well, if you don't know, you don't have it. Okay. I mean, the Holy Spirit, his power, his love, you know, is not goosebumps. That's what most of the people, you know, the degree that they experience. Goosebumps. Who cares? Okay. The idea is that instead, you know, there has to be actually understanding of what's going on to be able to get something, because otherwise you don't get anything. You just get what you understood. The knowledge, epignosko. Okay? That epignosko means full understanding, full discernment, full, you know, right understanding, just understanding, everything that has to do with that. Without that, you know, I mean, experientially, also there is the experience of that. But it's not just experience goosebumps. It's actual, your brain start processing it because it has to start acting on that. Okay. Now, and there are conditions for that. It's not just God grace. You know, the idea of God grace is there. Oh, pulling it on everybody like, honey, forget it. Doesn't work that way. God has some certain rules, spiritual laws according to which everything works. Okay. And one that the question of receiving from him, the sanctification, the transformation, the question of the Holy Spirit dealing with us has to do with us being open. Okay? You know, there is a process going on. It is actually, we're going to go even more in detail in 1 John chapter 1, 5 to 10, which is really talking about, you know, there has to be starting with information, revelation. That means light goes on. See, the light goes on where before it wasn't there, now it's there. So that's what revelation is. Okay? Revelation. Then the question, you know, the revelation bring conviction or, you know, feeling, I had to change this. This is wrong. I have to, you know, do something about this, or, you know, maybe I had to do this that I didn't do before, or whatever. You know, this is instruction, and really there is an indication that there is a change required. That means, you know, a change, you have to make a decision. There is repentance involved. So that decision, that repentance is not a question, oh, you messed it up. We all messed it up. We all are messed up. So it's not a big deal. If you go today and you find out the Holy Spirit points out something that you did for 20 years and I didn't do that, I didn't know. Well, you didn't know. You were ignorant about it. You didn't have a clue. The light wasn't there. The Holy Spirit has not shown to you that yet. But now the light is on. You have no excuse anymore. You had to take action. You had to say, okay, Lord, sorry, I changed. That stops. I'm going to start doing that. So how can you say that? Because he said that if you make that decision, he's going to back you up and give you the ability to overcome and do it. So that's faith. So you trust him, trust his word, trust in what he told you, and start acting on it, and you make that decision, and empowering all the way after that to be able to succeed in that. But if you are there thinking maybe you are wasting your time, and you end up finding excuses. Did God really say that this was wrong? Maybe not. You know, everybody else does it. So, you know, the fact is, no matter how born again, no matter what experience you had before, okay, the power of the flesh is strong on us. Because after all, we are flesh. basically. There is a big part on us. I mean, that's the part we are in contact with all the time. Our thinness, when I talk about the flesh, I'm not just talking about the body. I'm talking about all the experience, understanding, revelation, whatever we get through our ongoing knowledge that we get from the world. See, we need to get revelation and understanding that is not of this world, but is supernatural. About the supernatural work, a supernatural dimension, not this physical dimension that's based on different rules and they're all corrupted. These are rules that are there anyway, but they're corrupted. So, see, and that starts the process. When we start coming in contact with this new reality, okay? And that process is really an ongoing, look at this, show these things, these other things. As you take every step, as you walk, he walks with you. They sing the song, he walked with me. But they, you know, I want to see the result if you walk with him. You know, he's not going to walk with you and let you were doing what you're never doing before. He's going to show you the things, where to go and what to do. So, you know, he's going to be very specific. And what is all these things is going to start is your sanctification, which means actually, you know, that as you agree with him, as you make those decisions of repentance and so on, you know, what you're doing is what Paul's talking about. You put off the old man and you put on the new man. That is, you know, in Christ Jesus, like Jesus. All these changes that took place make you a bit more like Jesus. It's not new theology, is not new theory, is not nothing new, is as old as the universe, because Jesus was there from the beginning. But we have to be careful as believers. And you can see that so evident in Christianity, in religion. And was there right from the beginning. Because, you know, after the apostles were being with Jesus, you know, they didn't have a clue themselves. I mean, remember what had to happen to Peter to go to the house of Cornelius. I mean, if Cornelius would knock at the door and said, you know, can you come at my house? Or say, oh, no, I can come there. I mean, you are not a Jew. So God, to get to him, had to be a spiritual experience in which he saw all these animals that were unclean, and he said, take and eat. He said, I cannot do that. So, well, did three times. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, he couldn't do what Paul could do without all this stuff, because Paul, instead of just physically being with Jesus, he was being with Jesus for 3 years in the desert, and Jesus had shown him everything that he needed to know. So he had no problem about going to Cornelius or any other place in the world. But Peter had to be shaken up to break the crust of religion that was on him, that he was blocking him because he was a Jew. Well, today people do the same stupid things. Going to go too much into that, but you know. So let's see. See, Paul had to address that a number of times. Okay. And you know, for example, in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 1, start there. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? I mean, you know. Somebody has bewitched you. Yeah, what has bewitched? Which bewitched them? Who, you know, somebody that is under a spell. That's what religion is. It's a spell of a religious spirit. Okay? And they were under that thing because they didn't just, you know, they went far beyond what Peter problem had with. Okay? It says, do not be therefore. Before your eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. What does it mean here? Sure, everybody did. You know, the fact is, when he's crucified, the whole thing, you know, that was the new covenant that was established. The new relationship was starting from there. That was the basis, nothing else. So is Jesus' crucifixion the basis, not the other things that we had to do? Is having faith in what he has done. That's the beginning, okay? Is the work that he did on the cross was finished. Okay? And that covered everything. There is nothing more to do to get God's blessings. If you, it's not how much you pray, it's not how much you do anything in the physical, it's where your heart is. Because where your heart is, your actions are going to be also. Okay? But the point is, you are not trying to do things to get God blessings. You just, the only thing you do is to connect with him. He's not praying more. He's not reading the Bible more. He's not being more religious, making sure that you don't never miss any Sunday or whatever. Or instead of going Sunday, let's go to Saturday, because that was the Jews doing. Can we be more naive today than that? So, can I continue here? Okay, but among you as crucified. This is only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You know, receive the Spirit, you know, is not just a question of receiving an information. He's talking about actually the experience that you had when you were born again was just information that you got. Or was it transformation because the Holy Spirit connected with you and start changing you and you know that you have a change inside? That's what makes the difference. You know, when you have made that change inside, you don't go around, you know, not sure or not knowing what did that, because that happened. And that really has an effect on you and you go around with that very consciously all the time. Because you are different before now. And when something doesn't line up with the what you got, you just don't feel good. He came to convict the world. So you are going to feel under conviction if you had that experience and you are not closing it up again. Okay? Now, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and you are now being made perfect? Made perfect. You see, getting better, you know, improvement class, or you know, using the flesh to try to produce things. What is born of the flesh is flesh. We say, what is born of the Spirit is Spirit. With the flesh, you are not going to get anywhere spiritually. But you had to connect with the Spirit. You had to connect, you know, and know that, you know, you are there. It's not something far off. And, you know, this is the normal thing. It's not a question of being, you know, strange or a bit touched up on the head. If you are not touched in the heart, sorry, nothing has happened. And the other one can tell at the end, dead, but that doesn't matter. Now, perfect in the flesh. So, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Okay. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it for the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? So that's the bottom line. See, but you had to be hearing. You had to be hearing God speaking to you. God speaks, I say that, God speaks 24/7 to us. Are we listening sometime? Well, we had to do other things too, you know, so we are busy doing things. But when there is an important message to get across, he gets through everything that is there if it's necessary. If you respond. If you got apathetic and uninterested and interest more in other things, then he goes to somebody else. Maybe he goes to somebody else to come and tell you in your face so that you know it. And if that doesn't work, then there are other things that can happen. He is patient. Because he is patient, we think, oh, everything is fine. No, he just waits and waits and waits until he said, well, too bad. And you would have the consequences. Because you're not protected. Now, I'm continuing. Having begun in the Spirit. So, you know, if you began in the Spirit, what does it mean? That you are having a spiritual relationship, you have contact with the Holy Spirit. There is actual communication there. You know, and works miracles among you. So that's another thing that has to happen all the time. I mean, the miracles aren't stopped with the apostles. Neither the gifts, neither the Holy Spirit speaking to us. The way he spoke to, you know, he can speak to give you dreams. Give you, you know, visions. Give you, you know, can do many different things. It doesn't matter the way he does it. Okay. I may send you somebody. A messenger, an angel, but not necessarily completely with the wings, just somebody that is a messenger from God. Still is a messenger. Okay? And try to communicate and try to get across. Okay? So, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles on you, he does it for the work of the work of the law or by the hearing of faith. Just as Abraham believed God and he was accounted for him for righteousness. How did Abraham believe God? God spoke to him. God told him what to do, just told him all the different things. He was dealing with us all along. And so he was guiding us in the process that had to take place. It took him a long time. He got a big thing. Okay? So, he believed God and was accounted for him for righteousness. You see, that's the way righteousness comes. It's not by doing the right thing. When you are righteous, you are going to do the right thing because that's the only thing you can do. If you don't do the right thing, that means you are not righteous, really. Or in some areas, you are not righteous. You don't even know it. You're too ignorant to know it. And so, God is going to work on you to fix you up at the right time. You know, he's going to show you, and when you are ready for it, you're going to get the message. But sometimes there are so many things piling up that he doesn't start at the bottom, he starts from the top and starts getting down to the point where he's dealing with all of them and takes time. This is why, you know, sometimes people see new believers and they do the wrong thing and they try to fix them up. You can't fix up somebody that has problem, you know, a pile of problems and you try to fix the big one that for you are big but for God aren't. Okay? Are you still there? Okay. So believe God, it was accounted for him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the son of Abraham. See, they are not the one that come from a certain group or a certain race or a certain place or a certain city or a certain denomination or a thing. No, all those who are of faith. Okay. That means, you know, they believe God what faith is. Believe God that he is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you're there diligently seeking him, and you're going to listen, and you, what you get and you believe that is from God, you're going to follow up because you want to please him. Okay? So that's the way. Okay? It's obedience. The flesh, for lack of understanding and religious traditions, make Christian go back to every stupid thing that you can imagine, including Judaism. Okay. In doing that, but they don't realize what they are doing. They are rejecting what Jesus did on the cross. And essentially, they're crucifying him again. That's what the Bible says. They make the same decisions that the Jews did when they crucified Jesus. They wasn't lined up according to their ideas, so he rejected what he's done. Now, in the Old Testament, why am I talking about this stuff? Because in the Old Testament, things were different. They did not understand anything. That's why Jesus came to convert, to inform the Jews about the truth. And, you know, but that wasn't stopped there because Abraham's promise was not to the Jews, was to all the world. Okay? So I have nothing to do. And we are going to see more in detail about that. But in the New Testament, the benefits that God provided for us are for everybody indiscriminately. Everybody that is a child of Abraham, everybody that operates the way Abraham did, everybody that has this relationship with the Holy Spirit and God communicates with them and he responds to them and tries to obey and try to implement what God told them to do. That's what makes the difference. And that's what classify you or for receiving God's benefit. Now, we saw the God's benefit, you know. This is the key point, and this is so repeated many times in different way in the Bible, but in Romans chapter 2, verse 11, it said it very clearly, okay? For there is no partiality with God. He treats everybody the same. Everybody? Some doesn't ever prefer people or prefer things. He doesn't prefer anybody. He prefers those who walk like Abraham did. Anything else that compares to that is garbage. Now, the benefit we saw them, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and believe this with thee, bless his holy name, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. See, all this benefit, okay, it's important not to forget all the benefit that we should be getting, because when we are not getting the benefit, that means there is something we had to do. When we are not getting the benefit, we had to learn, oh, I had to listen. I had to hear what I need to hear because I have not been getting the benefits. If the benefits are for everybody, seems to me that's a logical conclusion, isn't it? So we should expect, and if we don't expect it, then we are going to be there, oh, poor little me, I can do it. When instead, it's not a question of, you know, poor little you, it's a question that you had to hear, you had to have a revelation, and then there has to be that repentance that brings about the receiving. He treats everybody the same. He is just, fair, and he knows what he's doing. We don't. So if there is something breaks down in the communication, it's not God, it's us. All right? I mean, if you start reasoning this way, and this is the way God wants you to reason, just read the Bible and you see that what I'm saying is nothing new. But if you start walking the way he wants, then you are going to walk in blessings. There is no other thing. It was said in the Old Testament, you know, if today I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing, there, so obey what I'm telling you to do. But it's not just obeying the law, obey what is speaking to you. And you have to be sensitive to be there, picking up what he's saying, instead of being stubborn in your flesh and remain in your position and your judgment, because that's what the heart does. The heart judges things. This is good. This is not good. God said, no, 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 that has to be. No, no, this is, I mean, that's the way I know it. That's what they preached. Not my pastor said that. Well, I don't care what your pastor said. I don't care what anybody said. I don't care what I said. God is speaking to you. Okay. Listen. If you don't see the blessing that you expect to get manifested. There's much more on that. But anyway. So, who forgive all my iniquities. So you go around feeling guilty. It's not to say, oh no, I'm okay, I'm okay. You know, it's not what you say. You know, that's much deeper than that. Who heal all your diseases. So, I mean, if you're sick, then there is something we have to receive. He redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness, tender mercy. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, you know, these are a pile up of big things that says that we should be getting, isn't it? I think that we all have to do something, some listening. Amen? So we you know, but if we don't expect that, if we don't know that, what's going to happen? Oh, well, you know, the Lord is going to do it. No, 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 no. The Lord is not going to do it. We have to ask and receive and know what to do so that it's going to be manifested. Because the God, Lord had done it already. It's finished. See, he was crucified and all things is ratified with his blood. And so the only thing that happens is we had to come along, you know, but if we don't believe that we had to do that because nobody preached it to us, then we are justified in stewing there and stewing on what they are not getting. All right? So we had to know, then we had to do, we had to decide, and then you're going to see something happening. You know, with satisfies your mouth with good things. Oh, God doesn't care about what. What? Can you read there? Nothing is changed between the Old Testament and the New Testament concerning what the attitude of God. So, go back to Galatians that we were reading before, chapter 3, a bit later on, okay? The new covenant relationship is different than the old covenant relationship. The only thing that they had to do there was to go by the law. Now it's a bit more complicated. You see, before the law, there was no law. So the only thing that they could do it is to communicate with God. When the law was established and they refused, they went to a lower degree of covenant with God. They had to follow what the law was saying, but, you know, it was a real pain because, you know, go and tick up all this stuff and, you know, it just doesn't work. It didn't work. And so Jesus came And what did he do? He reestablished the whole way to communication. Before, people were communicating with God as personally. Now the law is abolished. The only thing, love your God, love other people, and everything else is going to fall into place. That doesn't mean, you know, that you're going to break all the law all the time. Well, Jesus broke the law all the time too. But, you know, stuff that was relevant wasn't important. We are not going to break the law. We are going to fulfill the law because we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to guide us. And if you listen, we are not going to do any of the things that we shouldn't be doing. And when we do, it says, oh, sorry, Lord, I missed it. And you just fix it up and he cleaned it up. Because he forgives all your iniquities. So you see, I mean, today we can talk about the Psalm 103 and say, all the points there are good for me. And I have a better base than they had. Because I have a better covenant. Okay, let me continue here. At least I want to finish this. Gosh. Okay. Galatians chapter 3, verse 25. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. I mean, the tutor was the law they were showing us when we were on Iraq. Okay. For you are all sons of God. To different degree of development, of age. Okay. Through faith in Christ Jesus. See, sons of God, but that means, you know, that they are like Jesus in the relationship that they have with God. Okay. A different stage of development according to how much they are cleaned up. How many things have dealt with. Okay? But you, in the part that you are connected with God and you are listening, you are a son of God. In the part that you are not, you are a son of the devil yet. Because you are doing what the devil tells you to do. All right? So, that's why you are told to put off the old man and put off the new man that wishes really like Jesus, the new man is like him. Okay? So, where am I? So, but as many of you were baptized into Christ, and he's not talking about the ceremony of baptism. This is how as many as you are immersed, you know, why you want us to use, because in Greek the word immersion means baptism, but it's not a question of baptism here. It's whoever is immersed in Jesus. You can be, you know, immersed, baptized a million times. The only thing you got is wet, unless there is a component there that is spiritual. Okay, so unless you are immersed in Jesus, that's the part that has to happen when you are baptized, and you make the commitment to be that way. Okay, and put on what? Christ. Oh, Christ. See, this is how many are baptizing Christ, have put on Christ. So, is neither is Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. So, anybody is going to tell us, you know, anything that is different from us, this is pretty blatantly clear. Doesn't need any explanation. And Christians do go around doing things that are completely contrary to this, and there are many other scriptures to back up. God is not has no preference for anybody, treats everybody the same, male, female. Oh, female cannot preach in the gospel. I mean, cannot be a pastor, cannot do things because it's a female. Where are you? Can you read? Oh, but Paul said, you know, that make the women stay, you know, not to speak in public places. Hello? Do you have any brain to think? So according to you, like one of these people, these theologians, they think they are theologians and they are instead retarded. You know, they say, you know, here it says not to do it. And you, that means that God is going to contradict himself from one scripture to another? Or it's you that interpret the things the wrong way? God doesn't contradict himself.
He has complete harmony in the old Bible. But they say, oh, the Bible is full of mistakes. No, the Bible is full of stupidity that you don't understand what it's talking about. Because you have to see that different verses apply to different situations. In this case, there was a problem in the church of Corinth. Women were a mess and were ignorant, and so they needed to be corrected. I mean, in some other place, it may be men, but in that case, were women. So he's talking about here a specific situation that took place in a place in which they were unruly. So don't mix the two things together. You see, the idea that the scripture can be contradicting each other, take you the wrong route, and make up doing the wrong theology. But if you start thinking that, wait a minute, God doesn't contradict himself, then you say, well, what's the matter? Well, evidently, they're talking about two different situations or two different things. And all this theological big question that, you know, denomination against denomination, that women can teach or not, you know, the whole thing is baloney and stupidity of men, flesh, because they don't understand the basic principle about the scripture. The scripture is the word of God. They say it is, but they don't believe it because, you know, now one place say one thing and place another. You have to reconcile the two. How do you reconcile the two? They're talking about two different things. Hello? If women wouldn't preach, there would be no many Christian around today. Anyway, so let me continue here. So neither Greek nor slave, so no question of social status, you know, neither male nor female, nor, you know, for all are one in Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay, so if, and that's a big if you are of faith, that means if you are operating in the connection with the Holy Spirit, believing what when God is speaking to you and listening to what he's saying, and you are applying and walking that way, then you have the rights to the benefits. Are you following the implication of what I'm saying? You know, that means if you go around by legalistic rules, and I'm doing all this, and I'm praying that many hours, and I'm doing all these other things, and you claim the benefit for on that basis, you're going to get zero. You know, we had to get off the religious track if we want to get anywhere with God. That's the bottom line. Now, I could read the Colossians chapter 3, and it says exactly the same thing. Okay? Put on the new man, okay? And be renewing the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. The knowledge is, you know, epignosis, which actually, you know, means, again, as I said, full, complete, precise, experiential knowledge. So you have to, there has to be this experience of the supernatural power and communication from God that speaks to you personally and guides you moment by moment, so that you know, in some moment you may be busy doing, but when is the right time, if you are open, you know, you're always connected with him. And if you are connecting with him, he's going to speak to you and he's going to say, well, you know, what you did there wasn't very good. He's not going to make you just go around bawling and feeling sorry for yourself. Doesn't do any good. All right? All right. I think that I had to close here. Did you get anything today? Okay. We talked about quite a few different principles here. Okay, that may have address some questions that you may have had in different areas. But the word, no, the word of God. You know, some theologians don't like to that you say that the word of the Bible is the word of God. Okay. And I don't care. Because that's why they don't know what they're reading. Okay? The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus considered the Bible, you know, the Old Testament, as the Word of God. But he didn't stop in the Old Testament. He would have communication every day. The only thing he did was what he saw the Father doing. And he is our example, so we had to do the same thing. We had to connect the same way as Jesus, not say, well, you know, he was special. No, he was operating the way we should operate, and if you don't operate that way, you are not in. You have to learn, fully understand. Okay? It may take some time, it may take some mistakes, but how do you learn to drive the bike? Driving it and falling, okay? Well, that's the idea. So you can learn to fall and learn to walk with him. And, you know, sometime you're going to fall in a hole. And for you, say, you know, you just deal with him and he pulls you out. All right. Let's close for today. Praise the Lord. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that we know that, Lord, you said you never leave us nor forsake us. That means you're always with us. And we, Lord, can expect you to help us, to guide us, to develop us in the way we should. And we just praise and thank you, Lord, that your word said it very clearly many times. We had to learn to function in that way and not to function like the people in the world, guided by their blind minds. And we just praise and thank you, Lord, that no matter, you know, the confusion that is around us, we can walk in the light because you are there to shine your light upon us. Help us, Lord. Give us the understanding. Lord, give us the experiences that we need. Lord, open our eyes that we may be able to recognize them and receive everything that you have done for us, Lord. For everything you have done is good. All good things come from you. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, today for the way you're going to operate and function in our life as we learn to respond and to walk with you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.